Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The weekly podcast where we explore our daily anomalies, bringing to life short stories by fantastic writers never heard in audio format. A weekly mini audio book about life and befuddlement just for you. This week we have a story from Stacy Keith, who you'll find on Medium.com and Amazon. And here is How to Get Fired in One Easy Lesson. Working at dating membership organization Great Expectations was a lot like working for the mob. We broke hearts, the mob broke kneecaps. My job, as it was described to me, was to go into a closing room with a pre-qualified lead, plant my ass in the chair closest to the door, and relentlessly hound the poor fucker into ponying up too large for a membership. I was meticulously instructed on how to ask closing questions like, "Are you ready to make this kind of financial investment in meeting a woman who has made the same investment in you?" Or, if he showed the slightest resistance, deliver the 1-2 punch of the classic takeaway. "How can I go to my manager and recommend you for membership if you aren't willing to commit to the program?" In the closing rooms, salesmen were paired with women, women with men. Hardly anyone who worked at Great Expectations was older than 30 or less than a 7. I was in my late teens, sharp, street savvy, wise to the ways of the world, and just as woefully ignorant of them. I also had boobs from here to Cleveland, which, if they didn't close deals for me, at least kept prospects from walking out the door. The dating demographics at Great Expectations tilted heavily in favor of the ladies. 70% were men. Of the women, at least half were in their 40s. 20-something females were rare. I knew this, of course, but nodded vigorously when asked if we had attractive women in the age range of 18 to 28. If I didn't do everything I could to close the sale, I would be publicly eviscerated at the next sales meeting. Besides, the closing offices were bugged. There was a direct feed from each room to the manager's bullpen. There management sat, ghastly under the fluorescent lights, maybe with a lipstick-stained styrofoam coffee cup. The sales book would be open to the notes section, notes you would be flogged with, Inquisition style, even if you did succeed at closing the sale, the photo package, and the makeup and hair. All extra, by the way. I guess the $2,000 price tag was barely enough to keep management in vodka and cocaine. Mornings after were hell on the AM sales staff. We were always in the crosshairs then, when management was especially hungover and snarky. I was good at selling. I took pride in being a top performer and didn't think too hard about what happened once my fresh keels were unleashed on the video library. After they'd paid in full, members could sit in big overstuffed chairs and peruse member profiles. This was before the advent of the big online databases like OkCupid and Tinder. Or go to individual carols and view videos of the members, all of whom claimed to enjoy sports, if they were female, and long walks on the beach, if they were male. And these avowals were spoken without a trace of irony. We like to think of ourselves as pina coladas in the rain types, but the truth, always more prosaic, usually involves funyuns, a remote control, and a butt-sprung couch. Still, hope sprang eternal out there in a land of great expectations, and who was I to question how ill-founded that hope might be? I never had to worry about getting a date. I squashed big checks at the bank every Friday and bought myself stupid leather coats and snakeskin boots. When you're young, you don't think too much about the big picture. You're so busy proving how great you are to other people who, like you, are too self-involved to notice. The trouble started about 3 months into my sentence at Great Expectations. By then, I'd gotten a few uncomfortable post-sale glimpses of guys I'd sold expensive memberships to, especially the ones with black hair and chronic halitosis. Perfectly decent men, but not socially adept. The same men who wanted to date girls within their own 18 to 28 demographic. Usually, the sales staff was insulated from having to deal with customer service issues, but I'd made the mistake of inquiring. And, of course, I discovered that the playing field was no more level inside Great Expectations than it was at a bar or a club. Pretty people got dates, less pretty people got dick, and not in a good sink-your-nails-into-the-sheets way. That was when I started to question my role in all this and whether what I was selling was truly ethical. I met Dee Dee one rain-soaked night in late September. Dee Dee was a delightful woman, warm, plump, positive, and no more than 4 feet tall. Dwarfism, she called it, making a dismissive gesture with her child's hand. She didn't have time to feel sorry for herself because she wanted to have a life where she dated tall people. I'd been instructed to sell her a membership. I started sweating profusely in that closing room, knowing Dee Dee didn't stand any more of a chance finding a date here than she had at the public mixers she attended. Sure, it might be argued, who was I to second-guess her chances of success? There's someone for everyone, and all of the rest of the ridiculous horseshit we tell ourselves when it comes to romance. But you weren't the one who had to look Dee Dee in the eye and spew out statistical facts that didn't come close to telling the truth about Great Expectations. You weren't the one with your hand out asking for $2,000 plus the photo package, inviting her to gamble and find out if any normal-sized guys wanted to date a dwarf. And I could tell Dee Dee was ready to buy the minute she'd set foot inside the office. I panicked. Under the guise of using the restroom, I shoved some brochures across the table at Dee Dee and ran to the manager's office, hoping against hope that Fielding, the manager on duty, was tuned into a different closing room. No such luck. There he sat like a desiccated spider, stuck to the big leather office chair, his nose and eye rims a coke-hazed angry red. I begged him not to make me sell Dee Dee a membership. He knew as well as I did that she didn't stand a chance out there in the shark tank. For every success story we had at Great Expectations, there were at least 200 disgruntled, dateless people who hated us. I couldn't do that to Dee Dee. I couldn't purposely mislead her. She would get no more attention in here than she might at a bar. Less, in fact, because the Great Expectations part of Great Expectations happened as a result of forking over large sums of cash and expecting to meet a boatload of hot singles. Unless some guy had a sexual fetish for little people, the odds were not good that Dee Dee would find love here. Fielding listened to my pleas with barely concealed impatience. "Does she have a billfold?" he asked. "She's ready to buy, and you know it. Get in there and sell her a fucking membership or you're fired." I trekked back to the closing room. Dee Dee sat in her print dress and brimmed hat. 3 credit cards were already fanned out on the table. She looked at me trustingly and said, "I don't have a lot of money or big credit lines. Can we just put this on my 3 visas?" I knew Fielding was listening. I knew he had the sales log open to notes. I knew I would miss my status as a successful young salesperson at Great Expectations. I couldn't do it. "Dee Dee," I said, "if you want to join, if you think you can afford this, I am happy to help. But you should know that nothing is different in here than it is out there. If you were to ask for my advice as a friend, I would tell you to be patient, get involved in things that interest you, volunteer your time at pet shelters and soup kitchens, be around other good people like you." Silence. Dee Dee scooped up her cards. I didn't have to turn around to know it was Fielding who was hammering on the door. With a tight smile, he invited himself in and told me to go to the office and collect my things. It seemed like everyone at Great Expectations had gathered to witness my humiliation. Numbly, I got my coat and my purse. I didn't know if I'd done the right thing or a stupid one. Who was I to decide whether this was right for her? Dee Dee did join that night, under duress and in tears, according to my friend at the membership desk. She never got a single date at Great Expectations. I took no pleasure in being right. Years later, I figured out we weren't so different after all. She was looking for validation in the one place she would never find it, and so was I. Not at Great Expectations, but with every drunk, hot frat boy I wasted my time dating during that period. When it comes to love, we all look in the wrong direction. That's why we're destined to failure. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. And if you want to hear multiple stories like this multiple times per week, please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.